So this morning we continue, as mentioned by Pastor Hien, with the story of Noah and the ark. From the passage read out to us, there are three characters there. Three characters: God, Noah and the family, and the ark. So I'm going to focus on God in this first talk. I want to focus on God. God has a goal which he wants to achieve. And therefore, he designs the who, the what, the how, and the where as to how to reach that goal. God has a purpose which he wants to accomplish. And I will be looking at God's design. Every one of you seated there or watching from your home or from wherever, you are part of God's design. Because he has a purpose for each and every one of us. God's design, and you are part of God's design. As a man, as a woman, as a boy, a girl, you are God's design. Irrespective of your color, you are God's design, and you are designed for a purpose. You are not just an accident. You are not just here by accident. You have been carefully created, designed to achieve God's purpose. In every country, the Supreme Court is the highest ruling authority. And whatever the Supreme Court says, even the most powerful president has to fall in line. And God is the supreme ruler. He has this to say about your design. Psalm 139. Verses 13 to 17. It's going to come on, and I want us to read together. What does it say? Let's go. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Yes, next one. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. You are fearfully and wonderfully designed and created by God. Your frame has been designed by God to achieve his purpose. You are not an accident. Young men and young women, if anybody tells you you are ugly, tell them they don't know what they are saying. Why? The supreme ruler has said it. You are wonderfully created, designed by God. If somebody tells you you are useless, tell them they don't know what they are saying. If somebody tells you are good for nothing, tell them that is not what the supreme ruler has said about you. You are God's design. You have been designed for God's purpose. And you know those voices of distraction, those voices that come to tell you are not in the right frame, it's a lie from the pit of hell. You are not in the right frame. I think I'm not in the right frame. And, maybe I need to become my wife now. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You are in the right frame. And God has designed you for a purpose. Anything that will make you to alter or modify God's design can only result in one thing, and that is disaster. The truth is that you are fearfully and wonderfully created. God knew that you will be best as a female or as a male. And he has designed that frame because of what he has in stock for you, what he wants you to do for him. God's design. In the part two, you will get to see the importance of what I'm laying the foundation now. So the first takeaway, you are God's design. Let no one fool you about that. Number two, God's design. God wants to make an ark, and he called Noah. And then you will ask me, was Noah a builder? No. Was Noah an engineer? No. Was Noah an architect? No. Was Noah a carpenter? No. For all that I know from the scriptures, Noah became a farmer after the flood. So you can see a farmer being called to become a builder of an ark. What is that telling you? God does not call the equipped. God equips those he calls. God equips those he calls. The word minister is a doing word. It is a verb, a doing word. And it means taking care of the needs of others. God has called you as a nurse to take care of the needs of the sick. God has called you as a teacher to take care of the needs of those who need that knowledge. God has called you as a doctor to take care of specific needs. Irrespective of the field where you have found yourself, God has called you there. You are a minister. And again, God has called some to be full-time like our pastor. And he's doing that full-time. So we are all ministers. We are all ministers. And we have been called for a special purpose. And I want you to begin to think that, God, how can I better serve you where you have called me? God equips those he calls. So you are not just doing your job for the sake of any your income to pay the bills. No. God has put you there for a purpose which he has designed for you. The most important thing is to identify that purpose and fulfill that purpose. You are not in that job by accident. It is God's design. Children of God, for this first one, two takeaways. You are God's design. Two, God has called you. He will equip you for everything you need. Wisdom, knowledge, people, finances, because he has called you, he will fill those gaps. But the key thing is, how available are you? How available are you as a student? How available are you? God has called every one of us for his purpose. Will you be available? Let's continue with our story. The first part I discussed God and his designs. The second part I'll be looking at Noah and the ark. Verse 13 of Genesis 6 starts with, God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Noah. Maybe there should be some form of contest. Pastor Ian said, he and his wife Vicky had been married for 35 years. So maybe if we have 10 different women logged in a room, we give them a microphone and said, okay, begin to talk one by one, and let's see whether Pastor Ian will be able to identify his wife's voice. If he doesn't, then maybe he won't eat for 2 weeks. I hope he's not here. What I'm saying here is, when you are in a relationship with someone, you get to know the person better and better and better. We may think it's only in our generation that we have all these distractions, those voices. Let's ask our senior citizens too. They will be able to tell you what the distractions were when they were much younger. The distractions were there. The various voices were there. But the Bible says God spoke to Noah, and Noah identified God's voice. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice. And the next thing was, when God spoke to Noah, Noah listened. And you will imagine, God was describing to Noah the ark to be built. It's just like, I'm sure Ken is into technical things, bringing out the architectural design of a house and explaining, this is where the window should be, this is where the door should be, this is where the floors are. I'm sure such a discussion is not going to be 2 minutes or 3 minutes, because God paid detailed attention. He went into minute details of what he wants Noah to do. Noah listened carefully to God's plans. Noah listened carefully to God's purpose. And he identified that what God is asking him to do is of immediate action. When it comes to dealing with God, if I may ask, when last did I or did you hear from God? When you are with God, are you that careful? Are you patient? It's not only you, it happens to me. Especially if I woke up very late. Oh God, you understand? And you're off. When last did you hear from God? You have been seated here for some few minutes. Is your attention 100% here? I'm sure some mind must have meandered to the things I'm going to buy from Mazda after the church service. Or what am I going to cook when I get home? Are you here? That time you are with God, how patient are you? Do you listen carefully? You may want to ask me, how did I know Noah listened carefully? The last verse of that chapter, Genesis 6, said, and Noah did everything God commanded him, which means he listened carefully. Noah did not question God. Noah did not subject what God was asking him to do to his own head knowledge. Thank God for our own treasurer in this church, because he always acted in faith. It's not because I see him. The meeting place is a testimony. Noah did not subject what God asked him to do to accounting models. We are going to cut down trees, this type of tree. This is what we are going to do. The number of floors, the window, the doors. He was very, very patient. He was very, very patient. He didn't question God. He was focused. He didn't get distracted. Many times we say, God does not do wonders like the days of the past. But do you know why? Because we do not act like the people of the old. The people of the old. Their perseverance, their patience with God. Noah was to build an ark. And the Bible scholar said, as that up to that point in time, there hasn't been any rain, no drop of rain from above. There was none prototype that we can say, okay, Noah, look at that and then replicate. None. It was just to follow God's instruction the way it was given. That's why I said at the beginning, God equips those he calls. Noah acted courageously. How do you go to somebody, go and build an ark when there has never been rain? So it means there has never been anything called flood. But Noah listened to the voice of God. And he acted No wonder in the Hall of Fame of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, where we have the names of Abraham, the names of Enoch, the name of Noah also appeared. Why? Because he acted in faith to build God's ark. When God speaks to you, do you subject it to your own human interpretation, human knowledge? God called Noah, and Noah called his family to build an ark, to go and cut tree, and all the necessary things that will be done. Noah alone cannot do it. God provided the people in Noah's family. And they followed Noah. With your faith as the father, with your faith as the mother, how has it impacted on your children, on your household? How has it impacted on your household? Noah acted in faith. Noah acted courageously. Noah listened to God's words, and he obeyed totally. Even when God made promises, when God said, "I will make my covenant with you," Noah believed God. Noah believed God. God's promises, he believed what God was telling him. How do you believe God? It's difficult to believe because you are using your human head, your human knowledge. And there is a part which I would like to read out to you. There is a part which I would like to read out. In verse 19 to 20, God says this to Noah: "You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive." God was already thinking ahead of what will happen after the flood. God was already planning for procreation. God did not tell Noah, "Bring them male and male." Neither did he say, "Bring them female and female." God told Noah, "Bring them male and female." That is God's design, God's plan for procreation. Not male and male, and not female and female. So as Christians, why do we allow the voices of distraction to take us away from God's plans, from God's purpose? Why do we allow to be drifted away from what God has in stock for us? The simple answer is we listen and obey the various voices of distraction. The ark is the safety net, because destruction is about to come. And God provided a safety net for Noah. And God has provided us the safety net now. And that is Jesus Christ. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Do you know God? If you don't know God, you can run to Him. Are you just practicing churchianity? Every Sunday, I am present, but your mind is far away from God. You can know God. You can come to God today. I am going to end with this African tale. You know, I'm an African. There are four fingers and a thumb living in a village called Ant, H-A-N-D. One day, the four fingers saw a ring and they decided to steal it. And the thumb told them, this is not right. And they started to make jest. Who are you to be talking to us? Well, you are saying that because the ring cannot even fit your hand. It won't look beautiful on you. Anyway, they decided to steal the ring. And the thumb says, I am not going to go with you. I would prefer to be alone than to follow you. And that is why the thumb lives away from the fingers. So what is that telling you? You are in the village called world with the various voices of distractions, with the various things coming to take you away from God. You can decide to live away from those distractions. You are God's ambassadors. Wherever God has placed you, you are an ambassador for Christ. And you must make a difference. The only way to make a difference is to be ye separated from them. Let us pray. We have heard the word. Are you living in God's purpose? Or you are far away from God's purpose? Are you compromising your faith? You can tell God you are sorry and come back to Him. Apostle Paul writes, can we continue in sin and say grace may abound? He says, never. You can come back to Christ today. Noah was not perfect. As we shall soon know, he wasn't perfect. But Noah was very honest to himself. You just look at yourself in the mirror now and ask God, what do I need to change? What do I need to do? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Father, Lord, we pray that you minister to us, Lord. Even as we continue to ruminate in what we have heard. Bless us, O Lord, that our focus will be 100% on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.